What's cool? Wearing makeup? Well, there was a difference of opinion when we spoke about that subject on the program yesterday. From Brunswick, Georgia, I used to wear a lot of makeup. Think full battle regalia, 80s nightclub. I thought I needed it to look beautiful. In my 50s, I know I'm beautiful. I wear a little bit of makeup now and then, but I don't feel like I need to anymore. New York City. No, never have. When I put it on, I feel I look way too different. Men don't wear it. Why should we? We're all just humans.
Hi, I'm Barbara from Wilton, Connecticut. I have four daughters, and I also wear makeup, encourage them to, but it's not an hour routine. It takes exactly 3 minutes in the morning, a little waterproof mascara, eyeliner, blush, and lip gloss. It can be a very small part of your routine that reaps maximum benefits.
Frankly, I consider myself lucky to be able to wear makeup. I suffer from rosacea. I have a lot of redness in my face, and I can socially get away with putting makeup on it and covering that up. A man with rosacea does not have that option.
Well, an entrepreneur profiled in the latest issue of Inc. magazine has found cool in an ancient craft of recycling developed long ago in Japan in the geisha tradition that's being exported here to the U.S. It's all part of the cosmetics industry. Vicky Tai is the founder of a cosmetics company called Tatcha that last year pulled in $12 million, selling an ancient byproduct of the makeup process that was once considered garbage until the geishas came along, and now it might just be cool.
They're actually some of the earliest beauty care products in Asia. Instead of using a lot of alcohol-based things for teenagers when you start producing a lot of oil, we use blotting papers instead.
And it basically takes colors, mixes them, helps to spread them. Explain exactly what's happening when you use the blotting paper.
So a facial blotting paper, it's originally the byproduct of the gold leaf beading process. And geisha and kabuki actors figured out that it can help in the application of makeup and then also to keep it fresh. Ultimately, what it does is it just removes oil from your skin and leaves the pigment behind.
How did the use of this technology, as you explored it, tell you something about the seriousness and sort of artfulness of geisha and kabuki styles in terms of applying makeup and the artistry of what goes on there?
I first started searching for these blotting papers because I had worked for the big global beauty companies. And in doing so, I tested too much on my face and gave myself acute dermatitis. So my entire face was bleeding, blistering, scaling, my lips, my eyelids. I was on oral and topical steroids and antibiotics for 2 years, and the doctor said that my skin wasn't coming back to normal. So the only thing I could use on my face was Aquaphor, and so I kind of looked like a greasy mess. And then I was going to Asia all the time for work, and I was using blotting papers that I would pick up in Asia to try to look a little bit less greasy. And when I ran out of them a few years later, I called my friend from Japan, and I said, "Where can I get these blotting papers that we used to get in Japan? I can't find them here in the U.S. And that's when she said they are the byproduct of the gold leaf beading process. So at that point, I was really burned out in my career. I quit my job and started traveling the world, and I ended up finding myself outside of Kyoto in a gold leaf workshop where all they make is things of gold. And I said, "Is it true that these blotting papers are the byproduct of your gold leaf beading process?" And they said, "Yeah." And then my next question was, I don't understand how the byproduct of a gold leaf manufacturing process became one of the first beauty items. He said the geisha and the kabuki actors have been doing it for hundreds of years. You'd have to ask them. So then they introduced me to a geisha, and everything went on from there.
Now, hundreds of years ago, did they just throw this paper away, or was it immediately clear that this had a use?
They were originally throwing it away, and they don't even remember how the geisha and kabuki actors figured out that if you touch it to your face, it'll remove the oil but not disturb your makeup. But they said they've just been coming by and getting it every night before their shows for hundreds of years.
So this is a form of recycling.
Yes,
that goes
it really
way
is.
Back.
It really is.
Yeah. Now, did you go over there and say, you know, I can use some of this in America? Can I just load some of this in my bag and take it back on my flight from Tokyo? Or do you have to work out some supplier arrangement? Is this expensive stuff?
I called them from San Francisco when I first realized that they were truly the original manufacturers. And I asked them if they would be interested in having me bring it to the U.S., and they said, "No, thank you." So then I was like, "Well, I'll be in your neighborhood in a few weeks, so maybe I can stop by." And they said, "You're going to be 3 hours outside of Kyoto?" And I was like, "Yes." Mm-hmm. So I just stopped by, and
You had to sell it. You had to,
I
you
had to,
work
I had
it.
To sell
you had to work it.
It. Yeah, and then finally I said, "How much do you want me to buy in order for this to be worth your time?" And it was a lot, and I said, "I will do it. And then I went home and I called my husband and I said, I think I just bought 10,000 packs of blotting paper. And he said, how are we going to pay for it? And I said, I can sell my engagement ring. There's a start. And then that's how the company started. It's good times.
So, all right. So you sell your engagement ring and you have to set up a company mm-hmm. and set up a distributor and figure out how to market and brand this. How did that go?
It was tough going in the beginning, especially because I was pregnant. I went to the library and I grabbed the magazines and just wrote down the names of the editors and started sending them samples and letters and makeup artists. And to my surprise, they were amazing, the artists and the editors. And it ended up on the Today Show within a couple weeks. And we were in national distribution in a couple months. Actually, the day that I had my daughter was the day that we rolled into retail distribution.
Yeah, it's not like you want to do everything all at once, have a child, start a new company, pawn your engagement ring.
It was a big year.
Yeah, it was a big year. Did you consider branding these with an American kind of name, you know, like Theroblot or something goofy like that? Or did you want to stick with the Japanese, the Asian sort of mystique and association?
Well, I knew that the brand had the potential to be a lot more than blotting papers. The blotting papers were just the first of, you know, many things. So now we have, you know, over 20 different things in the collection. So I wanted it to be a word that represented what was so moving to me about the geisha and then also the Kyoto heritage. I'm not Japanese. I'm from New Jersey. I look Asian, and I am. I'm Taiwanese ethnically. But to me, there was something so beautiful about Kyoto. It reminded me of a time when honor still mattered, when simplicity still mattered, when heritage and craftsmanship. And so that's what I really wanted to bring over. And to me, the blotting papers embodied all of these wonderful values. So our skincare, I love our skincare, but to me, the greater thing is that it's the embodiment of the value system that I fell in love with there.
Did you use the blotting papers this morning?
I did. I probably needed blot again right now.
You got a little shine.
A little
shine up there.
I'm a little greasy.
Vicky, thank you so much. That
thank
was great.
You so much for having me. Perfect. It's an honor.
Vicky Tai is founder of Tatcha, a San Francisco startup that sells blotting papers.